Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Nun Zayin, the final daf in the fourth parak, Makom Shenahagu. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a brisa. Rishoni yeminichin oros kadshim b'lishkos beis haparva. Originally, the Kohanim would place the hides of the daily kadshim in the parva chamber. And at night, they would apportion the hides to the family, the beis of Kohanim, that were serving that day. When strong-armed Kohanim would come and take more than their fair share, the Kohanim instituted a practice where they would apportion the hides once a week on Erev Shabbos. Rashi explains that their thinking was that the entire watch could prevent the strong-armed members from taking more. Even then, high-ranking Kohanim would take more than their fair share by force. So seeing there was no solution, Amdu Balem v'Hikdishim l'Shamayim, the owners, which Rashi explains to mean all of the Kohanim, rose and they were makdish the hides to Shamayim. The Brisa continues that because of this, it didn't take long until they covered the entire Heichal with gold plates, and on a regal they would peel off the plates and place them on a stairway of their habayis so that the Olei Regalim would see that their workmanship was exquisite and there were no flaws. Point number two is Tana Brisa, Arvat Tzavachut Tzavcha Azor. The Azor cried out four cries, which is understood to mean that a baskel was heard in the temple courtyard. The first, Tzumikan B'nei Eli, depart from here the sons of Eli, for the improper conduct is recounted in Sefer Shmuel. The second, depart from here Yisachar from the village of Barkai, who honors himself in his Machal Kadshi Shamayim by wrapping his hand with silk when doing the Avodah. This invalidated the Avodah because it served as a chetzitza, and it also disgraced the offering since he refused to handle directly the sacred flesh and blood. The third, Su'u Sha'arim Rashehem, raise up your heads, O gates, so that Yishmael ben Piachi, a Talmud of Pinchas, may enter and serve as Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that even though his family were strong-arm oppressors, he himself was a righteous man. And the fourth, Su Sha'arim Rashehem, raise up your heads, O gates, so the Yochim ben Narbai, a Talmud of Pinchai, may enter and fill his stomach with Kadshi Shamayim. The Gemara goes on to describe the vast amount of food he ate. And the third point, the Gemara asks, what happened to Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai, his heavenly retribution for performing the Avodah with gloves, and recounts that he was called in by the king and queen of the Chashmonaim to settle a dispute. The king said that the kid's meat is better than the lamb meat, and the queen said the opposite. Yisachar gestured dismissively with his hand toward the king and said that if the kid is better, it would be offered as a tamid. So since he showed no fear of the king ordered that they sever Yisachar's right hand. When it was discovered that he had paid a bribe to have his left hand severed, they severed his right hand as well. The Gemara continues with statements that Yisachar evidently didn't learn Mishnais or even Chumash, where it's clearly said that lambs and goats are treated equally when it comes to offerings. So once again, the three points are number one. It was taught in a brisa, Rishona yemenichin oros kachim belishkas beis haparva. Originally, the Kohanim would place the hides of the daily kachim in the parva chamber, and at night they would apportion the hides of the beis of the family of Kohanim serving that day. When strong-armed Kohanim would come and take more than their fair share, the Kohanim instituted a practice whereby they would apportion the hides once a week on Erev Shabbos. Rashi explains that the thinking was that the entire watch could prevent the strong-armed members from taking more. So even then, high-ranking Kohanim would take more than their fair share by force. So seeing there was no solution, Amdu Balem v'Hikdishim l'Shamayim, the owners, which Rashi explains to mean all of the Kohanim, rose and they were makdish the hides to Shamayim. The Brisa continues that because of this, it didn't take long until they covered the entire Heichal with gold plates, and on a regal, they would peel off the plates and place them on a stairway of the Har HaBayis so that the Olei Regalim would see that the workmanship was exquisite and there were no flaws. Point number two is Tana Brisa, Arbat Tzavachut Tzavcha Azar. The Azar cried out four cries, which is understood to mean that a baskel was heard in the temple courtyard. The first, Tzumikan B'nei Eli, depart from here the sons of Eli for the improper conduct as recounted in Sefer Shmuel. The second, depart from here Yisachar, Ishkvar Barkai, who honors himself and his Mechal Kadshi Shemaim by wrapping his hand with silk when doing the Avodah. This invalidated the Avodah because it served as a chitzitza and it also disgraced the offerings since he refused to handle directly the sacred flesh and blood. The third, Su Sha'arim Rashem, raise up your heads, O gates, so the Yishmael ben Piachi, a Talmud of Pinchas, may enter and serve as Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that even though his family were strong-armed oppressors, he himself was a righteous man. And fourth, Su Sha'arim Rashem, raise up your heads, O gates, so that Yochan ben Narbai, a Talmud of Pinchai, may enter and fill his stomach with Kadshi Shemaim. The Gemara goes on to describe the vast amount of food he ate. And point number three, the Gemara asks, what happened to Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai as heavenly retribution for performing the Avodah with gloves, and recounts that he was called in by the king and queen of the Chashmonaim to settle a dispute. The king said that the kid's meat is better than the lamb meat, and the queen said the opposite. Yisachar gestured dismissively with his hand toward the king and said, if a kid is better, it'll be offered as a tummy. So since he showed no fear of the king ordered that they sever Yisachar's right hand. When it was discovered that he had paid a bribe to have his left hand severed, they severed his right hand as well. The Gemara continues with the statements that clearly Yisachar did not learn Mishnais or even Chumash, where it clearly stated that lambs and goats are treated equally when it comes to offerings. All right, so now we go to our sim for Daf Nun Zayin, and our standard simon is a nose, but we use Pinocchio's nose to make it a little more distinct. So here goes. When people started to strong-arm their way in to buy the latest Pinocchio puppets dressed in rawhide outfits, four alarms went off in the factory courtyard telling customers to depart, and the puppet hand suddenly fell off. Once again in slow motion. When people started to strong-arm their way in to buy the latest Pinocchio puppets, that must be more in Daf Nun Zayin. When people started to strong-arm their way in to buy the latest Pinocchio puppets dressed in rawhide outfits, which reminds us that when nothing could be done to stop the strong-armed Kohanim from taking the hides of the offerings, the Kohanim collectively rose and were makdish the hides to Shemaim. It didn't take long until they covered the entire Heichal with gold plates, and on a regal, they would peel off the plates and place them on a stairway of the Har Bais so the Oy Regalim would see that their workmanship was exquisite and there were no flaws. So when people started to strong-arm their way in to buy the latest Pinocchio puppets dressed in rawhide outfits, four alarms went off in the factory courtyard, telling customers to depart, which reminds us that Arba Tzfachot Tzavcha Azara, the Azara cried out four cries, which is understood to mean that a baskel was heard in the temple courtyard. One, to have B'nai Eli depart. Two, to tell Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai to depart for wearing silk gloves while doing the avoda. Three, to tell Yishmael ben Piachi, a Talmud of Pinchas, to enter and serve as the Kohen Gadol. And four, to tell Yochanan ben Nerbai, a Talmud of Pinchai, that he may enter and fill his stomach with Kadshei Shemayim. So when people start to strong-arm their way in to buy the latest Pinocchio puppets dressed in rawhide outfits, four alarms went off in the factory courtyard telling customers to depart, and the puppet hands suddenly fell off. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates to the heavenly retribution Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai received for wearing the gloves during the Avoda. He gestured dismissively to a king with his hand while resolving a dispute the king was having with the queen regarding which is better, kid meat or lamb meat, and his hands were subsequently severed. He had said that if a kid was better, let it be offered as a tamid. It was evident that he didn't know Mishnayos or Chumash, because he didn't know that lambs and goats are treated equally when it comes to the Karbanos. So once again, when people start to strong-arm their way in to buy the latest Pinocchio puppets dressed in rawhide outfits, four alarms went off in the factory courtyard telling customers to depart, and the puppet hands suddenly fell off. All right, now it's time for a four-blot-back Chazara. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simur Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The moment the Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The moment the Nigerian prince who lived on the mountain full of gallnut trees, which reminds us of the Brisa where Mishmon Gamliel says, the hallmark of mountains are mealing gallnut trees, and the sim for valleys are dekalim, day palms, and both of those are for the purpose of bikurim. The sim for nechalim are cunning, the sim for streams are reeds, which is for the purpose of the nachal eson, the mitzvah of egla rufa, and sim and shvegla shichma, and a hallmark of a plain is a sycamore tree, for the purpose of buying and selling. So the moment the Nigerian prince who lived on the mountain full of gallnut trees said the meat in front of him is for Pesach, which reminds us, the Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, it's forbidden for a person to say Basar Zela Pesachu. This meat is for Pesach because it appears as one is makdish an animal as a carbon eats kadshim outside Yerushalayim. And Rashi explains that it's referring even to the flesh of an animal that was already slaughtered. In this case, the person would be giving the impression that he's being makdish the value of the meat for the purpose of purchasing a Pesach. Rapapa said, the Rav's ruling applies exclusive to meat. However, in the case of wheat, it doesn't apply because it just means it's being guarded for the Chag of Pesach. So the moment the Nigerian prince who lived on the mountain full of gallnut trees said the meat in front of him is for Pesach, he was attacked by kamikaze frogs who jumped into his kneading bowls by the oven. Which reminds us that Todos Yisroel was a prominent man in Rome who instituted that the Jews should eat gedim mekulasim b'leil pesachim, kids roasted with their entrails alongside of them as a commemoration of the Karban Pesach. And the rabbi said they would have excommunicated him if he wasn't a great man. He expanded that what caused Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to make a Kiddush Hashem was the Kavach Homer they made from the Tzvaradim and Mitzrayim. If the frogs were willing to give up their lives, even though they aren't mitzvah in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, all the more so we should be willing to give up our lives because we are mitzvah in that mitzvah. Daf Nun Dalet. So the Simur Daf Nun Dalet is noodles. So here goes. The famed pasta chef made the brach on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur and then used it to cook a pot of noodles with seven hidden ingredients for the famished, pregnant, and nursing woman who said Ne'ilah felt like it lasted longer than Tisha B'Av and Atayna Sibur. Once again, in slow motion. The famed pasta chef made the brach on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur and then used it to cook a pot of noodles. Noodles? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Dalet. The famed pasta chef made the brach on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur, which reminds us that we resolve the contradiction statements from Rabbi Yochanan, whether one makes a brach on light, Motzi Yom Kippur, by clarifying Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yef is referring to Ur Shabbos, fire that rested on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which Rashi explains that was either lit beforehand or it was lit for a permissible reason, such as for the needs of someone who was sick. The brach is recited because the flame which had been forbidden to use is now fully permitted. The braisa was referring to ur hayotz mina etz mina avanim, fire that issues anew from wood and stones. Since fire was created Motzi Shabbos, it's appropriate to make a bracha over such fire, but there's no reason to recite a bracha on it on Motzi Yom Kippur. So the famed Pasachef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur, and then used it to cook a pot of noodles with seven hidden ingredients, which reminds us seven things are concealed from people, such as the Yom HaMisa, the Day of Death, Yom HaNechama, the Day of Consolation, the Yom HaKedin, the Depth of Judgment, what's in someone else's mind, what business will profit in, when will Malchus Beis David arrive, and the evil Malchus will perish. So the famed Pasachef made the bracha on the flame that was lit over Yom Kippur, and then used it to cook a pot of noodles with seven hidden ingredients for the famished, pregnant, and nursing woman who said Ne'ilah felt like it lasted longer than Tisha B'Av and Etana Sibur. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan holds that pregnant and nursing women are obligated to fast and complete their fast on Tisha B'Av, just as they're obligated to fast and complete their fast in Yom Kippur. And during banished mashals of Tisha B'Av, they're not permitted to eat. And that when Rabbi Yochanan said Tisha B'Av is not like Etana Sibur for rain, he was making the distinction that on Etana Sibur, reciting Ne'ilah is a chiyuv. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, it's a reshus. Another answer is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that on Tisha B'Av, one does not recite the 24 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei that is said on a Tainet Sibur. Daf Nun Hei, so the Simfer Daf Nun Hei is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The speed limit sign holder, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Hei. The speed limit sign holder who had like a Talmud Chacham and didn't work on Tisha B'Av, which reminds us that the Gemara pointed out a seeming contradiction. The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held that everyone can accustom themselves like a Talmud Chacham and not work on Tisha B'Av, even in a place where people do go to work, whereas in Brachas he said that a chassan should not recite Kriya Shema on the first night of his wedding because it appears haughty, as if he's a Talmud Chacham. And the Rabban held the reverse in both cases. The chassan can say Kriya Shema, but in a place where people do work on Tisha B'Av, everybody should not accustom themselves like a Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Yochanan said the opinion should be reversed. Rav Shishi Bar Idi said that they should not, and answered the contradiction, that the Rabban hold that since everyone else is working on Tisha B'Av, it appears haughty not to, whereas since everybody else is saying Shema, the chassan doesn't stand out. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that the chassan appears haughty because we know that he cannot have the proper kavana on his wedding night, whereas people will attribute a person not working on Tisha B'Av to someone merely sitting idle due to the lack of work. So the speed limit sign holder, who acted like a Talmud Chacham and didn't work on Tisha B'Av, or at night on the 14th of Nisan in the Galil, which reminds us that in the Galil where the minhag was not to work at all Erev Pesach, there's a Malchus Beis Shammai and Hillel whether they do Malacha at night. Beis Shammai forbids working at night for Anyanta, the prohibition of do Malacha begins at night. Beis Hillel permits working at night, for he likens the 14th to a fast day where the eating is forbidden only from the start of the day. So the speed limit sign holder who acted like a Talmud Chacham and didn't work on Tisha B'Av, or at night on the 14th of Nisan in the Galil, was upset when he was told that he wasn't allowed to work Erev Pesach like his friend the shoemaker could. Which reminds the Chachamim say three types of craftsmen are permitted to work until Chatzos Erev Pesach: tailors, barbers, and launderers. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says Afrit Sanim, also shoemakers. Now the Chachamim permit the first three because there's a kula where their malach is permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed in certain circumstances. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says that shoemakers can manufacture shoes since shoes can be repaired for the Oyer Regalim on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yossi holds a meeting tchilas malach mesof malach. We may derive the commencement of a malach, in this case, the manufacturing of shoes, from the completion of the malach, referring to the repairs. The leniency of repair can be extended to include all facets of shoe repair on the 14th. The Chami do not extend the leniency of repairing to manufacturing. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is the Shishur and Shul going nu-nu. So here goes. When the shulgoers gasp in shock when the shushur and shul, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Vav. When the shulgoers gasp in shock when the shushur and shul hid the Book of Wonder Cures away, he shushed them and told them to do teshuva. Which reminds us that the three things Hizkiel Melech did that the Rabbanan agreed with was that he dragged the bones of his father Achaz to the grave on a bier of ropes, he crushed the Nachash and the Choshes, he crushed the copper serpent that Moshe made, while she explains that people started attributing healing powers to the image itself and began worshipping it, and was gone to save for refuah, as he hid the Book of Remedies, which contained directions for curing all illnesses. Hizkiah saw that people were being healed so quickly and effortlessly that illness failed to promote in them a feeling of contrition and humility, which illness should engender. So when the shulgoers gasped in shock when the shushur and shul hid the Book of Wonder Cures away, he shushed them and told them to do teshuvah and whisper Baruch Shem instead. Which reminds us, the Rabban had a question whether to include Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Solom Ve'ed in Kriya Shema. On one hand, Moshe didn't state in the Torah, but on the other hand, Yaakov Vinu said it. So they enacted that it should be said quietly in a whisper, and the Gemara brings the analogy of this, of the Basmel craving the stew. So when the shulgoers gasped in shock when the shushur and shul hid the Book of Wonder Cures away, he shushed them and told them to do teshuva and whisper Baruch Shem instead, and stop using the branches of Hektish for personal use. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the practices of Anshe Yericho, three of which the Rabbanim protested and three of which they did not. One that the Rabbanim did protest was their use of Gamzil Shel Hekdesh, the branches of the trees that belong to Hekdesh. The people of Yericho held, like the one who said, Ein Me'il Begiduan, growth that results after the consecration of the trunks are not subject to Me'ilah, while the Rabbanim hold that while there is no Me'ilah, the growths are forbidden by the Rabbanim. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff with Malchus Beis Shem Beis Hillel, whether Malacha is done at night on the 14th in the Galil, that's on Daf Nunhei. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that one should not say Basar Zeh LePesachu, as it looks like one's being Makdish, an animal for the carbon Pesach, that's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn of the retribution that Yisachar Ish Bar Kari received for wearing silk gloves during the Avodah? That's on Daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn why we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, so on, in a whisper? That's on Daf Nun Vav. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn about the four cries that came from the Azara? That's on Daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you know that one makes a bracha on a flame motzi Yom Kippur on a fire that had already been lit before? That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you know why the Anshe Yericho permitted cutting down the branches of a tree of Hekdesh and why the Rabbanim protested? That's on Daf Nun Vav. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you know that the Kohanim decided to be Makdish the hides of the Karbanos because they couldn't stop the strong armed Kohanim from taking them? That's on Daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we discuss which craftsmen are permitted to commence their work Erev Pesach? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we learn the three things Chizkiyahu HaMelech did the Rabbanan agreed with, including hiding the Sefer Refuos? That's on Daf Nun Vav. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in the Dalet Amos of Halacha? That's on Daf Chesem Brachos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that Rosh Chodesh Nisan has Asara Taros, 10 crowns? That's on Daf Pezayin and Shavuos. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do you learn that Kohen can leave Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah, even if there's teachers in Eretz Yisrael to learn from? That's on Daf Memzayin and Erevin. Excellent. That concludes this pop quiz. Just a reminder to the all doffers that if you want to receive access to the deluxe set of daily Zichru materials, which includes illustrations, pictures, animations, highlighted dapim, as well as receive the pre-Shabbos mega package, which includes a wide assortment of review materials for the week and special quizzes, plus Chumash Timani, simply go to Zichru.com to receive via email or text 973-440-3013 to receive via WhatsApp. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.